Okay, if you will, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to pretty much stay in Ephesians this morning. I wanted to share at least part of this chapter this morning. This is again the practical side of the book. It's set up similar to Romans, which is primarily that righteousness of God that has come. And then you have the practical practical application of that. And it's similar in the book of Ephesians. And it's really beautiful when you think about it. When you approach the practical application of these things, when it starts talking about our walk, when it starts talking about our conversation, how we live, what we look like, our perspectives, all of those are to be understood in light of what we are. What God did in Christ was all God's doing. It was by His grace. That never changes. Who you are never changes once you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an absolute clear truth that's set out in God's Word. You're righteous not because of anything you've done or anything you'll do, just as an example, just righteousness. There are many other things. But it is solely based on the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is God's only Son, who God sacrificed on behalf of man because man couldn't pull together or offer anything good enough. So God supplied what was needed for man when we were enemies. So when you read God as love, He loved us long before we loved Him. And it's pretty amazing what's been done. So these things that we're going to read, they need to be understood in light of that. As a matter of fact, we're going to begin reading in 5, and then I want to go back to a section in chapter 2. But this deals with our walks, and it follows on the heels of 4. You know, 4 is to put on that new man, put off the deeds of the old, the flesh. Okay? And we're going to see a little bit more about that in 5. And then it talks about, you know, lie not to one another, basically walking in love. And it closes with forgiveness because of Jesus Christ's forgiveness of us. And what must be kept in mind, or what must be understood, really, is that you can't do what we're reading without the life from God. It can't be done. The flesh can't do it. The flesh can pretend to do it. The flesh can try and do it. But it can't do it. It's impossible. The flesh can't be fixed. See, so had to kill it. Start over. Isn't that something? And well, we'll see some of these things as we read. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers or imitators of God as dear children." And this is sort of neat because it is to imitate the characteristics of our Father, just like children do, right? you know, children, you see it, it's just a blast. But you see these kids, how, you know, the little boy, he walks the same way his dad does, you know, or similar expressions or similar looks. He's just manifesting some of the characteristics of that physical birth. Well, we do the same, only it is by way of spirit, by way of that which God has given us, that life from God. And it says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Now we're going to see a little bit more about why that is. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient or proper, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Those characteristics have no place in the kingdom of God. Let's read down a little further, and then I want to go to Ephesians 2. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We're going to consider that a little bit more in a minute. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Okay? For you were, and it should read, at one time darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The children of disobedience, you can turn to Ephesians 2. We're going to come right back here, but I want to look at something in Ephesians 2. That children of disobedience, it's a... It's kind of a Hebrewism, an idiom thing, where when you say the children of, and disobedience is unbelief or rebellion. Okay. What that means is they manifest or they live the characteristics of unbelief or of rebellion. The children of rebellion. Children of disobedience. They have rebelled against God and they don't believe on Christ. Those that are referred to as children of disobedience are the object of God's wrath. We have been the object of God's love, right? We've been saved from the wrath in Romans 5. We're delivered from the wrath to come in 1 Thessalonians. Right? Because we are the object of God's love, which is something that cannot change. We are the object of God's love no matter what. He can do no other, for the man or woman is called on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's go to Ephesians 2. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, and you, and it should read, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? We were naturally dead and in sin due to Adam. And that's what it's referring to. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. it's the Greek words here are the age of this cosmos, okay? The like the world arrangement is that word cosmos. It is a wicked age. It's called another place in the epistles. It is to walk according to that, and then it explains it a little further here, according to the prince of the power of the air that now works in the children of disobedience or unbelief or rebellion. They are manifesting the characteristics of the prince of the power of the air. He is the god of this age. He is the reason why it is such a wicked age. Okay? Then it goes on. Among whom? Also, we all had our conversation or manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Everyone is born dead in trespass and sin. Everyone is destined for judgment until they call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Then they're judged in Christ. It's pretty amazing, that grace of God. Okay? But, well, let's read a little bit more. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. Okay? We've been made alive together. And what that's referring to is that life from God. It's that life that was won by the Lord Jesus Christ. That Spirit of God is who we are. The flesh, and we'll see it in a minute. I think we're going to turn to Galatians, read a little bit. The flesh is at odds with the spirit. The flesh has desires. Prior to being born again, there was no other way to live and walk. All you could do was fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whatever its cravings were. Once we have the life from God born within us, we can begin to move in a different direction. And we'll see that a little bit more in a minute. But as we continue to grow in this, we less and less walk by the course of this age. And it takes growth. That Spirit of God is constantly working. Constantly. In Romans it says, those of you who are led by the Spirit are no longer in the what? In the flesh. Every one of us who has confessed the Lord Jesus Christ is led of the Spirit. Whether we realize it or not. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to walk by that Spirit, but there's a constant leading. It feels like you sometimes, your conscience. But if you will grow in God's Word and spend time with God's Word more and more, you'll begin to walk in that Spirit that God's given you. And when you do that, it says in Galatians, you will no longer fulfill the what? Lust of the flesh. You're then going to walk in light. You're going to walk in love. See? Kind of neat. Let's read verse 5 again. Even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. That is the degree to which we are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in the eyes of God. We are already seated with him. We are in Christ. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, how it should read. For by grace are you saved through believing, that not of yourselves, it is the what? It's the gift of God. Isn't that awesome? Let's go back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Flip a page. I got to be really ginger with my pages here in Ephesians. It's like, they're pretty bad. All right, I'm going to read verse 8 again. For you were sometime darkness, or at one time, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In Thessalonians, you're children of the day, not of the night. For the fruit of the light is how that should read. The word spirit in the King James is the word light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Okay. Now this fruit of the light is when walking in light, it is that which is produced. Fruit of the Spirit is a part of that. That would be a part of this fruit of light. Okay? The fruit of walking in darkness is really the opposite. It talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 19, you don't have to turn there, but it's goodness, righteousness, and truth in Ephesians 4:19, that walking in darkness as other Gentiles walk is unbridled lusts to all uncleanness and greediness. And that verse opens up with they've lost feeling. They've given up. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 and then we'll come back and close here. Galatians 5. For the flesh in verse 17. You know, the context here is what had happened with these Galatians is that they were getting messed with by Judaizers, and they were being turned back to the flesh. And previous to this, they've been reminded over and over again how that they receive spirit by believing, not by works. And here they're getting talked into trying to merit the things of God, trying to merit standing with God or righteousness. And that's what's being dealt with here. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the what? The Spirit. They have opposite desires. And the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. All the law could do was control flesh. It couldn't deliver it from sin. It didn't give the man or woman another option. They could still only walk by flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're clear. Which are these? adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders in the King James. I don't think it's in the text, though. Envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What we read in Ephesians 4 is that those that are past feeling, their hearts have become hard due to an acceptance or giving themselves completely over to the satisfying of the flesh. Okay. Because the flesh has its desires. But those desires are rooted in not good things. It may seem good. It may seem like you'll be happier. But not really. The spirit has desires. And that spirit, that life in you, is always working. Always working. Isn't that something? That's the grace of God. It's so amazing. It is so amazing. And over time, as I learn how God works in me, I gain understanding of his word. I gain understanding of who I am in Christ. The less that I'll put up with from the flesh. Over time. Right? It's called growing. It's called growing. Getting to know your Heavenly Father who loves you. It's never about being good enough. Ever. That is a desire of the flesh. Many call that Christianity, but it's not. It is a desire of the flesh, a fulfilling of a desire of the flesh, to try and merit to be good enough before God. Do you understand? God's already said you can't be, you weren't, so we just dealt with it. You were crucified in Christ, okay? Shut up. Accept the life I've given you. Because it's going to be pretty good. Right? And so you grow in that, and the more you do, the more you see, you know, that doing things God's way, endeavoring to please God, endeavoring to you know, and learning how to love, like was prayed, learning how to love our brothers and sisters, where you really grow in forgiveness. Because you begin to see more and more what Christ has done. And it's not so hard. You know? But it takes growth. Which is fine. Anyway. Let's go back to Ephesians 5. No, you know what? No. I want to read the rest. I gotta read the rest of this. What am I doing? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, you know, keep in mind as you read this, this isn't something you produce. This is produced by Spirit, by that life of God. What I do is endeavor to walk by that Spirit. And gain understanding of my God and of my Lord Jesus Christ. And as I do that and I grow in that, these are the things that will be produced. Isn't that something? Love. Joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and believing. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, which every one of us does, we live, and really it should be by means of Spirit. We all live by means of Spirit. Because we were born dead. So we all live by means of Spirit that have called on Jesus Christ. Let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Isn't that something? So you see, you know, those two. And this fruit of the Spirit is part of that fruit of light. It's walking in the light as God is light. Now let's go back to 5, Ephesians 5. So verse 9 again, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. And then it says, proving what is acceptable or well-pleasing to the Lord. And that word proving is that word dokimazo. I think most of you know what that means. But it comes from dokimon. The dokimon was the guy who would determine if the money was good, if it was genuine, if it was its proper weight. He was trusted. He could tell if this is the real deal, if this is genuine, or if it's really worth less than what it's supposed to be. That was the dokimon. We do that by way of Spirit and by way of the Word of God. See? That's how we do it. All these things that we're reading, we've been given the ability and the life to do it with. Verse 11, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Just real quickly, this word reprove, it is a word that means to convince or to convict. It's the same word that's used in John 14 when Jesus Christ was teaching about Spirit, and I just wrote it down. We don't have to turn there. John 16, verse 8, and when he comes, referring to the Comforter, when he comes, he will convict. That's this word reprove. He will convict or convince the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And what that means is it all becomes visible. It's made clear. That's what Holy Spirit did. When it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, for the first time, people had life. They had the life of God and they could see. And the world could see it. And the world is confronted by it. That's what Holy Spirit does. That life of God. Isn't that something? And that's a life all of us have born within. So here, as walking as children of light, don't fully share with the children of darkness. That's not who you are. Walk in light. Walk by that Spirit of God. And you will convince them of who you are. Of who your Father is, of who your Lord is. You know, Jesus Christ taught we're in the world, but we're not what? We're not of it. We just did it. And God has equipped us to walk successfully. But all things that are reproved are made manifest or clear by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. You know, whatever is made clear is by way of light. And that light is that word, is the Word of God, and that life of God that's been born within each one of us simply by calling on Jesus Christ. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what?
Light.
Ah, isn't that something? You'll have light to see. You'll have light to see, and you grow in the Word, and you grow by way of, you grow in walking by the Spirit. You see. You see things. That's not good. Sometimes you'll see things in your own life That's okay. It's good. God has equipped us to handle those things, you know, and to deal with them and to change them. We get better at it. We get better at it. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, God, I don't want to. But, you know, but we get up and we do it again and we just walk. We just walk and we go to the Father. We pray. We stay strong in that grace of God. And then it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, accurately, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We can know what the will of the Lord is because of Spirit and because of His Word. Then it says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with what? With the Spirit. You know, this is sort of a neat, because in their idolatrous practices, they would, you know, getting drunk was part of the deal. When you're drunk or somebody gets drunk, they call that being under the, you're under the influence, right? Both will make you do things and take you places where you might not otherwise do or say, right? The one under its influence will usually land with you looking like an idiot. Right? It's kind of funny. But that Spirit of God, it's leading, its influence on your life, it's going to be awesome. It's sort of interesting to think about it that way. You know, somebody who's had too much to drink, best thing to do is just don't open your mouth. Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Because it's just, but boy, when we're led by the Spirit, it's beautiful. And we manifest God, we manifest His light, His goodness. It's just, it's so awesome. And then it says in verse 19, and this is a beautiful picture being drawn here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all, it should read, for all unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a beautiful picture of being blessed, joyful, and then that lifestyle of being thankful. The singing in your, you know, that singing in your hearts, that's it, that's it, that's in here. And that'll manifest itself. But that singing in your hearts, it's a joyful thing. It's a thankful thing. And that is something we grow in. The more we learn, the more we see, and the more we stick with our Heavenly Father. And then I'm going to read one more verse here. It's verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear or the reverence of, should read Christ. In the reverence of Christ. Boy, it's just a realization that, you know, each one of us was worth the life of God's only begotten Son. And by the flesh, You know, the flesh tends to grade in different ways, whether it's by looks or status or, yeah, whatever. You know, we come up with 100 million different things. But that life of God, it sees different. It sees different. And we can submit one to another in the reverence of Christ, you know, recognizing the value of each one. God would never, never give us things to do that we can't do. We can do these things because of the life we have born within.